gross negligence, and no one had ever been convicted under it. This context strongly reinforced my sense that the statute simply did not apply in the Clinton email case, and made the use of the term grossly negligent inappropriate and potentially confusing, given the old statute. So I directed our team to consider other terms that more accurately captured her behavior. After looking at multiple drafts, I settled on extremely careless as the best way to describe the conduct. I gave my draft statement to senior FBI personnel and asked them to think about three things: the accuracy of the facts laid out in the draft, any policy or other limitations around making such a statement, and the wisdom and mechanics of presenting it to the American people. This was the farthest I could imagine us going. I have made no final decision, I said, but let's use this draft to start our discussions. What is possible under the law? What makes sense? If we were going to provide some kind of public statement, how would we do it? Standing with the Attorney General? In some kind of written report to Congress? Alone? Let's talk about it. The FBI leadership team chewed on it, marked it up, debated it, and slept on it. I wanted as much feedback as possible, with one big exception: to protect the FBI's independence if necessary down the line. I didn't want the Department of Justice to know what we were doing. The most aggressive step to demonstrate the independence of our investigation would be for the FBI to announce something without involving the Justice Department at all. I didn't know whether that made sense, and at times the idea struck me as crazy. But this would no longer be even a theoretical option if we told anyone at Justice about our deliberations. They might well direct me not even to consider such a thing, and I would be bound to follow that order, as I had when ordered to call it a matter. So we kept it inside the FBI and continued debating it as the investigation moved toward the final step, interviewing Hillary Clinton. But at that point, the investigation got bogged down. A big issue in the case, and in the public debate over the case, was Secretary Clinton's process for deciding which of her emails to return to the State Department after State requested she turn over work-related emails. By her account, there were about 60,000 total emails on her personal server as of late 2014, when State asked for the work emails. The Secretary's personal lawyers reviewed those emails, producing about half of them and deleting the rest. I, and the entire FBI mid-year team, believed our investigation would not be credible if we did not dive into that culling process. We weren't just going to take their word for it. We needed to know firsthand how the lawyers made those decisions, and we wanted to see the devices they used so our experts could look for traces of the deleted emails. For understandable reasons, this made the Justice Department lawyers very nervous. The laptops that the Clinton lawyers used to review Secretary Clinton's emails also contained their work for other clients. Our examination of those laptops could potentially violate the attorney-client privilege and attorney work product protections, not just for their client Hillary Clinton, but for other unrelated clients as well. The attorney representing Clinton's lawyers, Beth Wilkinson, was talking tough to the Justice Department. There was no way she and those lawyers were going to talk about work for a client, and no way they were going to produce their laptops so the FBI could look at them. That was something that Wilkinson intimated she would fight until the bitter end. FBI General Counsel Jim Baker knew Wilkinson, so I asked him to speak to her and emphasize our determination to get those laptops. He did so, and she promptly told the Department of Justice lawyers the FBI was going around them. A chill descended on the relationship between the FBI and the department attorneys. We were at an impasse. The FBI could not, with a straight face, tell the American people we had done a competent investigation if we didn't move heaven and earth to understand that email review and deletion process. It didn't matter to us that it involved her lawyers. I would not agree to complete the investigation without seeing those laptops and interviewing those lawyers, period. If Secretary Clinton wanted to still be under criminal investigation for the next 2 years, fine. Despite the force of that argument, by mid-May, we still had not gotten access to the laptops. We faced the real prospect of the investigation going on into the summer and after the political conventions, when the presidential candidates would be nominated. In May, I went to Sally Yates and told her this was dragging on too long. We were now weeks from the conventions, and I was close to the point where I was going to recommend the appointment of a special prosecutor. My predecessors had done that from time to time, most prominently when Director Louis Freeh recommended in writing that the Attorney General appoint one to investigate then-President Bill Clinton's fundraising activities. I said that soon it would be too late for this Department of Justice to complete the investigation without grievous damage to public faith in our work. It would require a prosecutor outside the control of the political leadership of the department. I didn't know the date I would recommend such a thing, I said, but we were getting close, unless we got those laptops. Yates understood. I don't know what she did, but almost immediately the mid-year team could feel an injection of energy and backbone into the junior lawyers at the Justice Department. Suddenly they were hell-bent on getting those laptops. Within a week or two, the lawyers had negotiated a deal that got us what we needed. The physical laptop devices and interviews of the lawyers who used them to sort Clinton's emails. I don't know how they convinced the private lawyers to make the deal, because the FBI was not involved in the negotiations. We got the access we wanted, and found nothing that changed our view of the case. But I was now satisfied that we had done what a credible investigation required. While all this wrestling over the lawyer laptops was going on, I spent June still struggling with what I thought was the endgame. How do we close the Clinton email case 6 weeks before the Democratic convention in a way that maximizes public confidence that the institutions of justice have acted justly? Two things happened that brought me back to the crazy idea of personally offering the American people unusual transparency and doing it without the leadership of the Justice Department. First, in mid-June, the Russian government began dumping emails stolen from institutions associated with the Democratic Party. It began with entities calling themselves DC Leaks and Guccifer 2.0. They were stolen emails intended to harm Clinton and the Democrats. This made very real the prospect that the classified material relating to Loretta Lynch might drop at any moment, not decades from now. As noted earlier, the release of that material, the truth of which we had not verified, would allow partisans to argue powerfully that the Clinton campaign through Lynch had been controlling the FBI's investigation. Then, on Monday, June 27th, on a hot Phoenix airport tarmac, Bill Clinton and Attorney General Lynch met privately aboard an FBI Gulfstream 5 jet for about 20 minutes. When I first heard about this impromptu meeting, I didn't pay much attention to it. I didn't have any idea what they talked about. But to my eye, the notion that this conversation would impact the investigation was ridiculous. If Bill Clinton were going to try to influence the Attorney General, he wouldn't do it by walking across a busy tarmac in broad daylight and up a flight of stairs past a group of FBI special agents. Besides, Lynch wasn't running the investigation anyway. But none of these basic realities had any impact on the cable news punditry. As the firestorm grew in the media, I paid more attention, watching it become another corrosive talking point about how the Obama